He needed her. Her eyes were on him the entire time, until she slipped the dark helmet over her face and stepped outside, away from him, leaving him with a small parting wave of her left hand. Hold. And then the pod's door closed, leaving Rickle alone. And, for the first time in his life, being alone bothered him. He activated his calm. Where the fuck are you?
Coming. It was Torin. Got held up. We were thrown off course by an explosion on the freighter. Then a little human thought he could sabotage our thrusters. Let's just say he won't be sabotaging anything now. It's a funny thing. I think some of these humans aren't afraid of death. Their old captain understands survival, though. He's got your coordinates. We're nearly there.
Too little, too late. They had Aaron. Rickle's hand tightened around the grip of his sword as he tried to suppress his killing intent. He'd held her in his arms, kissed her all over, and tasted her sweetness from both outside and within. And he had let her slip out of his grasp. He didn't trust humans. He didn't trust the cold-eyed woman who had negotiated Aaron's release. He had seen her kind before, countless times. Hers was a special kind of insanity that wasn't reserved for just humans. Some Cordolians were afflicted with the same thing, dead eyes and a vacant soul. There was no such thing as a noble species. Like every other intelligent life form he'd come across, they could be selfish, violent, petty, and cruel. The difference between Cordolians and humans was that humans were weak. With the exception of Aaron, he hadn't yet encountered a human he'd be willing to save. But then again, he was hopelessly biased. Rickle closed his eyes, crossed his arms over his chest, and let his body float, allowing himself to drift through the pod as he waited for his brothers to retrieve him. He tried to calm the savage emotion seething within him, but he couldn't. What the fuck are we doing here? Killing Zargek. That was what they'd been ordered to do. Eliminate at all costs. And there was the unspoken. If things got out of hand, they could always retreat. They could have hijacked a human vessel and made their way to Sector 8, where there were Cordolian-occupied territories. Retreat. The word wasn't in the First Division's vocabulary. In the past, they'd been able to subdue entire planets with little more than their reputations and the weight of the Cordolian Empire behind them. Once people knew what they were about, they generally tended to cooperate. These delusional humans, on the other hand, still thought they held some power in the universe. They had no idea who or what they were messing with. Otherwise, they would have capitulated a long time ago. Rickle exhaled and latched on to the image of Aaron that was burned into his mind. She filled his emptiness and made him feel complete. She soothed his wild, reckless heart. He would have her back at all costs. She was the last thing he saw in his mind's eye as a giant boom shook the shell of the pod. He had barely enough time to activate his full armor before his world disintegrated into a raging inferno. There was another boom, then another, and another. There was only searing heat, pain, and the fading image of his mate in all her beautiful human glory. Whatever they'd hit him with was fierce. His armor could only hold off so much. The blast was starting to burn through. It was excruciating. Aaron. He couldn't lose her now.
He'd only just found her. As Rickle's body burned, he reached out with one arm, trying to grasp her. But her form was ethereal and elusive, and it was stolen from him as agony took over, thrusting him into the depths of Cain's darkest hells. Chapter 25. Aaron stepped warily across the threshold, moving from the mobile airlock into the body of the dull gray cruiser. The transfer from the pod to the surveillance cruiser had been straightforward. They'd stepped into the mobile airlock, and it had sealed up, drifting slowly across to its home vessel. She removed her helmet as the doors closed behind her, replacing one oxygen source for another.
"Welcome back, Sergeant Varga."
E-1 was there, along with her offsider, E-2. He stared at her through his data lenses, not saying a word, as E-1 motioned for her to follow.
"Come with us. You'll undergo a debriefing session, but before then, I want you to see something."
"I trust this won't take long," Aaron said coldly. "I have to get back to my squad."
"That all depends on you, Sergeant. Your cooperation is essential."
The look E-1 gave her made Aaron's skin crawl. The woman smiled.
"I have to admit, your way of getting the DNA samples we asked for was rather bold, but having been there myself, I can't judge you for your methods."
"What the fuck are you talking about?" Aaron's anger was mounting, compounded by the fact she felt completely and utterly helpless.
"You know what I mean," E-1 whispered, as they passed darkened cubicles occupied by agents who were hooked up to complex monitoring equipment.
A wave of disgust swept through Aaron, and she shuddered. Had these people somehow hacked into the escape pod's monitoring systems? She didn't like the way E-1 looked at her, as if they shared some dirty secret. They made their way down to the bridge, which was surprisingly crowded. Pilots and navigators focused intently on their holoscreens, and armed guards lurked in the shadows, watching everything. The whole scene had a sinister feel to it. Aaron had walked straight into the other side of the Federation, the hidden, covert side that nobody ever talked about. It was a side ordinary citizens probably didn't even know about. How many hidden surveillance cruisers did non-human affairs have out there? They were watching everything.
"Are the radiation shields intact?"
Barely noticed by Aaron, E-2 had trailed behind them, and now he spoke for the first time.
100%,
one of the navigators replied.
"Good."
E-2 stood before the bridge with his arms crossed, as E-1 leaned close to Aaron.
"Watch now," she said softly.
An image of their escape pod appeared on a large holoscreen. Floating in the cold, empty void of space, it appeared so tiny, so vulnerable. Rickle was in there. Aaron's chest tightened as terrible realization dawned on her.
"No,"
she whispered, a wave of horror washing over her.
"You said you wouldn't."
"Prepare all missiles," E-2 said. "Stand by."
"You can't do this,"
Aaron snapped. She strode towards E-2, forgetting where she was.
"Fire."
"No,"
Aaron screamed, her body moving of its own accord as the holoscreen showed a sleek missile leaving its launcher, turning into a white flash as it shot towards the escape pod. Aaron's mind went blank as white-hot fury consumed her. A vicious cry of anger and grief escaped her throat as she reached inside her jacket and drew one of the Kalidom knives Rickle had given her. She reached E-2 and knew nothing but hatred.
There was a flash, and the pod exploded in a white ball of heat. There was no sound, just a whisper of an aftershock that shook the cabin. Erin couldn't bear to look anymore. The knife was in her hands. She knew nothing but rage. They had taken him from her. The blade connected with E2's chest. There was a faint pop as it sliced through rib and lung, and Jupiter knows what else. The man screamed, and for the first time in her life, Erin found that sound. The sound of human suffering. Satisfying. Warm blood streamed over her hand, coppery and glistening. She tried to reach for the other blade, but someone was restraining her now, and there were gloved hands all over her as she fought like a wildcat, attempting to kick and punch until she heard a cry of pain behind her. "Fucking bitch! I need her alive. Take her down, but don't kill her." She swung wildly as five or six troopers surrounded her, and although she was strong, their combined strength was greater. They took her down to the floor with a thud, pressing their weight into her ribs and stomach and crushing her legs as she howled and kicked. They piled onto her like wrestlers until she was completely restrained and could move no more. Breathing heavily, Erin looked up and saw E1 squatting down beside her, her face still composed in that infuriating expressionless mask. Truly, the woman was inhuman.
"I didn't quite expect that reaction," E1 murmured.
"Fuck you," Erin spat in her face. "You have no idea what you've just done." She tried to hold her grief at bay, but a giant chasm of loss was opening up inside her.
"They're a new prototype," the woman said dispassionately, ignoring her colleague E2, who was lying on the floor, gasping like a fish. A medic rushed to his side and began applying coag gel to his wounds.
"Compact nuclear missiles with a controlled blast radius. Effective in close-quarters combat. As you know, nuclear is one of the few things that can cause a suitably effective explosion in the vacuum of space. There are three more missiles to deploy in this weapons test."
"No!" Erin squirmed, trying to break free. E1 was so close, and all she could think about was wrapping her hands around her neck and strangling her until the very last drop of life was squeezed from her. Rickle was inhuman and near invincible, but there was no way he could have survived that. A choked sob escaped Aaron's lips.
"Judging from your reaction, it must have been good," E1 whispered, her red lips curving slightly. An emotionless voice reached her ears. "Missiles 2, 3, and 4 successfully launched." Helpless and seething, Erin strained against her bonds, giving in to hatred and despair.
"I'm going to kill you," she snarled, before someone clapped a gloved hand over her mouth.
"I don't think so. Sedate her."
E1 rose as something sharp and painful dug into Erin's neck. She struggled, but her power was quickly washed away as the sedative took hold and the world faded to black. Chapter 26. She opened her eyes and quickly closed them again as harsh light flooded her vision, blinding her. Her head pounded. Where the hell was she? Faint voices drifted to her through a haze of clouded thoughts, and in her half-consciousness, she thought she was dreaming. So why were tears leaking from her eyes?
"Has the corpse been decontaminated?" someone asked. And Erin struggled to process the words. For all she knew, they could have been speaking Cordolian.
"It's been cleared," another person said. "Radiation count is down to background levels. We can go ahead and extract some samples."
They'll want to do a full autopsy.
That will happen after the specimen is transported to Earth, but we can do the preliminary tests here.
I can't wait to get stuck into this one. It's not every day you get your hands on fresh meat from the other side of the universe.
Yeah, it's surprisingly well preserved, considering it's had all that firepower thrown at it. It's impressive, really. The escape pod disintegrated completely. We were lucky to find the body.
Careening off into space like a goddamn asteroid. A mirthless laugh punctuated the stillness.
But we've got the most advanced detection equipment known to man. We could find a needle in a proverbial galactic haystack.
I want to take a closer look. It's not every day you see one of those things up close. Let's extract some tissue samples.
Aaron choked back a sob as the memories came crashing back, underscored by the dispassionate conversation between the two humans. They'd spoken about Rickle as if he were nothing more than an insect, a lab specimen to be dissected and experimented on. It was over. The beautiful dream she'd grasped for a few brief, exhilarating moments was gone, ripped to shreds, and transformed into a waking nightmare. Aaron forced herself to open her eyes, willing her tears to stop. At first, the light was searing, but as she blinked furiously, her surroundings came into sharp focus. She tried to sit up, but her arms and legs were restrained. Something hard and cold was beneath her, a bench of some sort. She turned her head to one side and saw white walls. A harsh chemical scent filled the air, reminding her of the strong, cheap disinfectant they used to clean the shower stalls on Fortuna Tau. She turned to the other side and saw a glass window. Beyond the window was a sight that branded itself into her mind and stilled her heart.
"No,"
she whispered, her voice cracking. Her heart was being squeezed in a vice. She couldn't breathe. Nausea rose in her throat, and the walls threatened to close in on her. The specimen those two humans had been talking about was Rickle. He was almost unrecognizable, but Aaron would know him anywhere. She knew his features, even when his skin had been burned away, revealing charred flesh underneath. She knew the elegant lines of his jaw, the noble slant of his forehead, the sharp slash of his cheekbones. Even though the flesh covering his bare bones had become twisted beyond all recognition, the skin and muscles of his body seemed to have melted away, leaving behind a gruesome remnant, a shell, a husk, a disfigured memory of the magnificent creature he had been. She could barely stand to see him like this, with his body about to be defiled by those two humans who were preparing some sort of surgical equipment. It was pure torture for Aaron. She wanted to rise up and smash their faces into the wall. But she was bound and helpless, with nothing covering her body but a thin white gown and tight restraints around her waist, wrists, and ankles. In the blink of an eye, they had taken everything from her. What kind of people were these? What kind of dirt was hidden behind the smoothly oiled machine of the Federation?
"I see you're awake, Sergeant Varga."
E-1's flat voice reached her ears, and Aaron found herself looking up into the woman's expressionless face. The agent was wearing her data lenses again, and they flickered with information as she stared at Aaron.
"Don't worry. The internal examination was carried out while you were unconscious. It was no surprise that we were able to collect a valuable sample of alien semen."
"How did you know?" Aaron hissed,
a wave of revulsion coursing through her. They'd violated her while she'd been knocked out. She clenched her fists in anger. Oh, if only she had the strength of a Cordolian right now, she would tear this place apart.
Your escape pod's networking systems aren't exactly secure. My people were able to hack the intercom. I heard most of it, Aaron.
You have no idea what you've done, Agent, Aaron said. Her voice was flat and lifeless. You think they're going to let you get away with killing one of their own? You're just poking a hornet's nest. You shouldn't provoke them, Agent. They will take Earth and everything on it, and we humans won't be able to do a thing. Not you, not me, not the entire fucking Federation.
I don't have much sympathy for traitors, Aaron Varga, and you almost sound like a Cordolian. You shouldn't be so quick to write off your own race.
What do you think we're going to do when the entire Cordolian fleet turns up on our doorstep? Fight them? Aaron closed her eyes as a fresh wave of despair crashed over her. She didn't have the energy to fight anymore.
Senator Monroe was right to have been suspicious of you. From the very start, she didn't like the way you talked about these aliens, almost as if you admired them. Stockholm Syndrome can be dangerous, Aaron. Look what it's made you do. My offsider is in critical condition because of you. Shame.
E1's smug, self-assured tone made Aaron want to punch her in the face. I'll fucking kill you, Aaron whispered, her voice thick with hatred. When the Senate finds out what you people do behind closed doors...
But the reality is that they don't care. They know we exist, but they don't want to know what we do. They just give us orders, and we get them done. They turn a blind eye to our methods. Up here, we're not bound by the conventions of Earth. People disappear in space all the time, Aaron.
Right then, Aaron knew she wasn't getting off this vessel alive. She'd been snatched from the jaws of death, only to be delivered to an even worse fate. Does my mother know about you people and what you do?
If it's any consolation, General Varga just thinks you're being picked up for a debrief. She's going to be told the official story, the one that everyone else will hear. We'll inform her that we received a distress signal from your pod. Shortly before you disappeared, you were in a panicked state, saying something about there being a Cordolian on board. After that, we lost the signal.
E1 stepped away as two men wearing surgical masks and lab suits entered the room.
She's a traitor, the agent said coldly. You both know what we do to traitors. Get the information out of her, then dispose of her.
Aaron glanced from side to side, searching for something, anything, she could use to escape. But she was hopelessly trapped. All she saw were plain white walls on one side, and Rickle's mutilated form through the glass on the other side. She strained against her bonds, but they were made of metal and held fast, cutting painfully into her skin. E1 walked out of the room, her footsteps a hollow echo as she left Aaron to the mercy of the two men. Aaron was well and truly alone. One of the men ran a gloved hand up her leg, caressing the inside of her thigh, exposing her as he lifted the hem of her gown. Aaron froze as she heard the sound of a zipper being undone.
Interrogation's the boring part. All we have to do is inject her with AccuFol and she'll spill everything. Boss won't mind if we have a little fun first.
Get your filthy hands off me, Aaron hissed, as the man got up onto the bed, straddling her.
Shut the fuck up, traitor.
A gloved hand struck her in the face, and Aaron tasted her own blood as it pooled in her mouth.
She took a deep breath and spat with great force and venom, her blood splattering across the man's white lab suit and mask.
"Fucking bitch!"
He slapped her again, then pressed his hand hard against her cheek, grinding her face into the hard metal surface of the bench.
"You can't do anything here. Why resist it? Just give up and take it, traitor."
The cold metal of the bench pressed painfully into Aaron's cheek as she was forced to look to one side. Her breath caught in her throat as she raged against the futility of her situation. She was completely, utterly helpless. She stared at Rickle's still form, watching as a scientist inserted a long needle into his stomach and extracted a tissue sample. Another man in a white lab suit stood behind a monitoring device, interpreting data. Rickle was getting probed. The indignity of it made Aaron want to scream, but she held her tongue. Because she realized that Rickle's scorched face was turned towards her. When had that happened? In death, he was staring at her, his eyes wide open. Gone was the brilliant gold of his irises. The entire surface of both his eyes had been bleached milky white. But it was almost as if he were looking at her. Cold air touched her bare thighs and pussy as a gloved hand encircled Aaron's neck, clenching tightly so she could barely breathe.
"Be a good girl and stay quiet now," her attacker whispered into her ear. "Otherwise, we'll have to restrain you."
His words faded away, becoming a faint buzz in the background. Aaron wasn't focusing on him anymore, because Rickle's mouth was moving. Maybe she was going insane. No, it really was moving. He was trying to mouth silent words to her. But she couldn't lip-read, because he didn't have any fucking lips left. What was he trying to say? Her heart started to hammer as hope fluttered in her chest, faint and tenuous. And then, the man straddled above her froze. He swore. His companion swore. Because Rickle's hand had shot up and grabbed the scientist by the arm, and then Aaron understood what he'd been trying to tell her. Don't watch. Hope rose in her heart like a solar flare as the scientist screamed. Her attacker cursed and got up off her, dropping off the table as he and his companion ran out of her room and into the glass-walled room. Bad move on their part. A deep, shuddering sigh escaped Aaron as she stared at Rickle's burned body. Bruised, battered, and horribly disfigured beyond recognition, he was coming to life like a modern-day Frankenstein. A true monster in every sense of the word. Her glorious monster. It didn't matter if he was hideous or beautiful. He was hers, and nothing was going to change that. Not the Federation, or the Empire, or even a fucking nuclear missile. Rickle's deformed hand gripped the scientist's arm. There was a crack, and the man's screams tore through the silence. And despite what she'd thought he'd been trying to tell her, Aaron couldn't look away. She was transfixed by the scene before her. The air was thick with a sense of horror, even as her heart swelled with hope. She didn't know whether Rickle would ever fully recover from the damage he'd taken, but even at a fraction of his usual strength, these humans would be no match for him. Shit was about to get brutal, and Aaron couldn't look away. Chapter 27 Pain invaded his consciousness.
He couldn't see because his eyes had been burned. He couldn't smell because the small fibers of his olfactory nerve had probably been seared in the blast. But he could still hear, and he'd heard everything those humans had said to his beautiful mate. They'd restrained her, stripped her, and tried to violate her right in front of him. Her soft gasps, laced with pain and fury, had drawn him out of his comatose state, thrusting him into a world of darkness where everything was agony and those pitiful humans scurried about, thinking they could mess with him and mess with his mate. Despicable humans. They had almost killed him. And then, ironically, they had saved him. Because if his body hadn't been brought to this place, he would have died in space, starved of oxygen, his nanites in desperate need of protein as they guarded his most vital organs. They were eating away what was left of his flesh, his muscles, connective tissue, and skin, in order to protect and maintain the necessities of life. They surrounded his heart, brain, major blood vessels, and abdominal organs, sustaining him even as Cain, Lord of Death, called his name, trying to drag him into the underworld. A dark vortex opened up inside him, a swirling mass of hatred and fury and emptiness. He could barely move because his muscle tissue was hopelessly depleted. But as the human approached, he drew on the cold fury within him and willed himself to move. He drew on his pain, embracing agony. He drew on the presence of his mate. He could hear her. He could feel her. He knew exactly where she was. "Hold on, my love. I'm coming." He heard the human, its footsteps drawing near, until it was right beside him, probably preparing to extract more of his tissue. Rickle fought his body, which didn't want to move. His damaged nerve endings felt as if they'd been shredded and dipped in molten lava. It would be so much easier to give up and allow Cain's embrace to take hold. But the thought of Aaron spurred him on. He forced himself to move, his left arm shooting upwards and grabbing whatever he could of the human. He was weak, and he almost failed to form a decent grip, but his fingers found purchase, curling around the fabric-encased upper limb of the human. All Rickle needed was a little bit of protein, blood, or tissue, anything organic that could feed his hungry nanites to stop them from eating him alive. He squeezed hard and felt bones cracking underneath his fingers. Through excruciating pain, he forced his sharp claws out past the mutilated flesh of his fingertips, digging through cloth and skin and flesh, drawing blood. The human screamed. Rickle dug harder, and precious life-giving blood started to run down his arm, coating his raw flesh. Nanoparticles swarmed to the surface, drawn by the promise of sustenance. They began absorbing the blood, drawing energy from it as they retreated back into Rickle's body. The human struggled, but Rickle held firm, even as two other humans entered the room. His insides were on fire. The nanites were repairing the most essential organs first. His heartbeat went from a faint flutter to a steady thud. His lungs expanded, drawing in vital oxygen. Blood started to course through his body. Neural connections in his brain were repaired. His olfactory nerve was replaced, and now he could smell the coppery tang of the human's blood.
A piercing sensation hit his eyes, like 1,000 shards of glass, as the nanites worked on his retinas and eyeballs, restoring sight. Hands were on him, trying to restrain him. Someone thrust something towards him, trying to inject him, but Rickle batted the offender away with his free arm, sending them crashing to the floor. He could see a little now. The room was blindingly bright. He craved darkness. Bit by bit, the world came into focus, and bit by bit, Rickle grew stronger. The human screams were growing louder. Someone was trying to place restraints on his legs. He kicked blindly and was rewarded with another scream. Rickle sat up and gasped, his world coming into sharp relief. He was alive, and he was angry. Because they had dared to touch what was his, they'd intended to violate her. Unforgivable. As he squeezed harder, drenching himself in human blood, he turned to look at her, and what he saw made him blind with rage. She was strapped to a bench, wearing only a flimsy white gown. The garment was pushed up, revealing her sleek thighs and a glimpse of her delicate sex. She couldn't move, not even to preserve her modesty. They'd rendered her utterly helpless, and to Rickle, that was a crime far worse than all of the deaths he was about to cause. His chest heaved as he looked at her face. Sympathy cut through his pain and anger. She was his precious female, more precious than all the stars combined, and she should never ever have had to endure what they'd just put her through. He wished she didn't have to see what happened next, but time was scarce. The humans would send backup, and he needed to be in good enough condition to fight. He would have to become like the ancestors of old, and do as the savages of the lost tribes once did, when they encountered a particularly hated enemy. She was staring at him, her blue eyes wide, the tracks of dried tears visible on her perfect cheeks. Unforgivable. But her face was serene. She was the very image of the goddess herself, and her eyes were filled with love and warmth, even though he must appear monstrous right now. She was the calm in the center of the storm. Her lips parted, and she silently mouthed one word. Go. The way she looked at him, and that simple word, meant everything in the universe. Do what you have to do. I'm on your side. Rickle sat up, dragging the screaming human with him. The man was losing a lot of blood, and Rickle was benefiting. The human started to go limp as Rickle squeezed, growing stronger with every waking moment. The other three humans had managed to get their hands on some surgical equipment, blades, clamps, and long needles. They advanced on him, and Rickle grinned, his fangs protruding from his lipless mouth. He was the perfect embodiment of a monster right now. And for once, he embraced it. Chapter 28. Screams bounced off the cold white walls of her cubicle. Blood splattered against the clear glass of the window that separated them, obscuring her vision somewhat. In a flash, all four humans were dead. Rickle had killed them with his bare hands. He was back. Her fierce, terrifying warrior was back. Strangely, she didn't feel any regret for the humans he'd killed. A weird stillness had settled over her. She didn't feel much of anything. She was cold all over, and she was willing Rickle on. Erin watched the terrible tableau play out before her. She could do nothing but watch, even as Rickle dropped to his knees beside one of the corpses, facing away from her. She couldn't quite see what he was doing anymore. He was below her line of sight. She heard crunching and squelching, as if he were tearing through flesh and bone. At last, Erin turned away, staring up at the ceiling as she granted Rickle a brief moment of privacy, because whatever he was doing, she suspected he wouldn't want her to see it. Not that she cared. Survival wasn't always pretty. Erin closed her eyes and thought about Earth. The brief time she'd spent on Nova Terra before returning to the Hendrix II had reminded her how good it felt to be on home soil. The sunshine and the salty sea air had evoked a strong sense of nostalgia. Just a few minutes ago, she'd thought she'd never see Earth again. She began to shiver. It was more than just the cold air brushing against her bare skin. Erin wasn't the sort to cry easily or give in to her vulnerabilities. She'd been the leader of a squad on a remote mining station. She'd done her job damn well, and she could hold her own against any soldier. But the way she'd been treated just now had evoked some powerful memories, memories she'd tried so hard to bury. Erin. A soft, familiar voice dragged her back into the present, and it was the best thing she'd heard in her entire life.
Rickle?
Her voice trembled. She sounded so weak, so vulnerable, and she hated that, but her body wouldn't stop shaking. I'm here. She hesitated, not wanting to open her eyes just yet. She didn't know what she'd see. It wasn't that she was afraid, never that. It was just that she didn't want to see the full extent of Rickle's suffering. He didn't speak again, but she could feel his presence, even though he was as silent as ever. The first thing he did was pull down the thin gown she wore so it covered her groin and thighs, preserving her modesty. Then, his hands, bare and smooth and intact, were sliding over her wrists. He grunted and snapped the restraint over her right wrist, as if it were nothing more than brittle plastic. He brushed his fingers over the tender area where the restraint had dug into her skin, a low growl issuing from his throat. He did the same with her left wrist, before moving to her ankles. Erin moved her arms experimentally. She was a little stiff, but otherwise okay. After her legs were freed, he moved to her side, wiping the tracks of her tears with the soft pads of his thumb. His gentle movements were in stark contrast to the room full of bodies he'd left behind. "Open your eyes, Erin. It's only me." Slowly, she did just that, blinking against the harsh light. Rickle's face swam into view, the bright white light forming a halo around his moonlight-crowned head. She gasped. He was whole again. The smooth silver skin of his face was intact. He had lips again. His elegant nose was perfectly formed. Long, beautiful lashes framed his eyes. Erin was reminded of an angel, except this one dealt swift, bloody death. Black nanites writhed under his skin like swarms of minuscule ants, occasionally coming to the surface to repair some unseen wound before disappearing again. Those impossible nanoparticles had rebuilt Rickle from the inside out. remaking him in his own image. He took her hands into his touch impossibly gentle. "I'm sorry," he said, pulling Aaron up into a sitting position. She swiveled, swinging her legs over the side of the bench so that she was facing him. "What for?" She brought her hand up to caress the side of his face, not quite believing he was real. He was naked before her, but he wasn't at all bothered by it. "For not being able to get you out of here sooner. They should never have been allowed to touch you." His eyes burned with the heat of a thousand suns as he took her hands into his. "It could have been a lot worse." Aaron shuddered at the memory of that asshole straddling her. Another image flashed through her mind. She'd been younger then, an idealistic, fresh-faced officer, and the man who'd tried to rape her had been in a position of unassailable authority. She hadn't allowed him to go there. Her fists were strong, and she'd used them. But there had been a price to her defiance, and her promising career as an officer had been cut short. They'd dispatched her to the shittiest backwater of the galaxy, a mining station full of misfits and criminals called Fortuna Tau. It was a dumping ground for soldiers who'd fallen out of favor or stepped on the wrong toes, and she hadn't been expected to last a month. But she'd survived and flourished. Her promotion to sergeant had taken everyone by surprise. She was strong. She'd always been a survivor. So why couldn't she stop fucking trembling? Rickle's tenderness was tugging at her heart. "Never again," he whispered fiercely, twining his fingers between hers. Aaron stroked his cheek. "I'm glad you're alive," she said. "You have no idea. I don't know how your body does what it does, but you're incredible." He'd healed so quickly. Cordolian technology was so far advanced, it could have been magic for all she knew. Rickle's ears twitched as he inclined his head, his amber gaze turning hard as it flicked towards the door. "We're about to have company." He placed his hands on her waist and helped her slide off the table. The floor was cold underneath Aaron's bare feet. "You are in no way dressed or equipped to handle a fight." "This thing is somewhat skimpy." The white medical gown reached to about mid-thigh. Her fingers itched for a trigger. If only she had a bolt gun, she'd feel a whole lot better. The guards she'd seen stalking around the bridge had guns. Now that she was considered fully expendable, they wouldn't hesitate to shoot her. "I am very sorry, Mayashika, but I'm going to have to ask you to go into that back room, the one where I was held. They're going to come through here first, and I can't have you getting caught in the crossfire. I get the feeling they will shoot to kill." "Stop apologizing, Rickle," Aaron said. "I'm a soldier too, remember? From a tactical perspective, it makes perfect sense." She didn't want to do anything that would undermine him. She didn't want to end up a hostage, and she didn't want to be a liability. He was right. Without weapons or armor, she was in no condition to fight. Rickle nodded, a hint of a smile tugging at his lips. "I'm apologizing because of the mess I made. Please, try not to look at the mess on the floor, but do stay below the window line." Sharp, black, half-inch claws had appeared at the ends of Rickle's fingertips. Aaron's eyes widened. Pretty Boy was full of surprises. She stared at him in shock for a split second. Then the door slid open and she ran, ducking behind a patch of wall as Rickle prepared to fight.
try not to look at the mess on the floor. She couldn't help it. She was surrounded by bodies. Blood was everywhere. The dead guy slumped closest to her was by far the worst. There was a gaping hole in his chest. It looked like he'd had his freaking heart ripped out. Aaron stiffened, the shock of recognition shooting through her like a jolt of electricity. She knew the guy. He was the one who'd been on top of her, who'd touched her as if she were nothing more than a piece of meat. Had Rickle known? She shuddered as she crouched down and made her way across the floor, trying not to be seen as she searched for a clean place to hide. Aaron forced herself to get back into the mindset of a soldier as she glanced around, searching for a weapon. In the next room, the sounds of violence were rising to a bloody crescendo. Shots from bolt guns punctuated the air, and one hit the glass window above her, cracking it. Of course, it didn't shatter like old-fashioned glass, because it was made of an ultra-strong polymer. But the powerful hit of concentrated electricity was enough to create a network of fine cracks across its clear surface. Shouts and curses rang out, in between grunts and screams. Rickle didn't make a single noise, but occasionally there was a crunch, a thud, or a squelch, and then the sound of bodies hitting the floor. As if in answer to her prayers, a bolt rifle skidded through the open doors, coming to a stop by her side. Aaron picked it up, checked the charge, then crept up to the edge of the door, where a narrow strip of wall protected her from sight and fire. She peeked around the corner and quickly withdrew her head as a blast shot past and struck the metal bench in the center of the room, sending it careening off into a trolley of medical equipment. Once again she chanced a look. This time she saw Rickle fending off two attackers. One of the guards charged him from the front, the other took the back, aiming his bolt rifle at Rickle's head. Rickle was fighting naked, and he'd taken hits. There were rapidly healing burn marks all over his body, and he wasn't moving as quickly as was usual for him. Perhaps he hadn't yet recovered enough to be able to summon his full armor suit. After all, the guy had just been hit with 4 nuclear missiles. Aaron raised her rifle and squeezed off a shot. It hit Rickle's rear attacker in the back, and he collapsed to the ground. Rickle managed to shoot her a grateful glance, just before he took on the other guard, sustaining a point-blank shot in the chest as he grabbed the guard with his bare hands. Rickle slashed his neck with his claws, and the guard went down in a spray of crimson. And then, silence. Just like that, it was over. It had all happened so quickly. Aaron looked around the corner and then ran to Rickle as he dropped to his knees, his chest heaving. His hands were coated in blood, but as Aaron watched, the strangest thing happened. Swarms of black nanites rose to the surface of his skin and absorbed the blood, leaving not a single trace of it. She shrugged. The bizarre sight didn't bother her. Nothing much could shock her anymore, not after what she'd seen and done. As for the humans who had just gone down, they were definitely the enemy. Rickle wasn't her enemy. Never. Kneeling amongst the death and destruction he'd wrought, he looked up at her, and his gaze softened. His expression became tender as he reached out to her. His hands now smooth and clean, his sharp obsidian claws retracted. "You protected me," he murmured, a boyish smile gracing his dark lips. "Just returning the favor," Aaron said, marveling at how good it felt to stand before him, even in the midst of all this carnage. He was the calm after the storm,
even though he was the storm, the tempest, and the fucking hurricane. Rickle's smile faded. Disquiet flickered across his face, and his golden eyes narrowed. "Rickle, what's wrong?" He gasped and looked down, a strangled sound of pain escaping his lips.
"I..."
"Rickle?" Aaron stepped closer, threading her fingers through his silken hair. "Are you okay? Are you hurt?"
"I..."
For some reason, he refused to look at her, his voice cracking as he bowed his head.
"I remember everything."
Aaron heard pain and confusion in his tone. Rickle dropped his head into his hands, shaking it over and over again. And Aaron realized he was having the mother of all flashbacks. Chapter 29. Images flooded his mind. He was here with Aaron, surrounded by dead humans, with her gentle fingers threading through his hair. But he was also back out on the Vol, with his people. He was Rickle Sarekunin of the Aikun tribe, and he'd been stolen. He'd loved to hunt. Amongst the boys his age, he'd been one of the fastest and most agile, fearlessly slipping into the frigid black depths of the sleeping ocean to hunt Lamperk when all the other children had been too afraid. He'd been wild, and he'd been free. He'd been an expert at catching the vicious winged kuthlek, which were particularly delicious when roasted, and he'd known how to skillfully avoid the venomous fangs of a female targuk. His hair had grown long and wild, and his mother had taken great pleasure in fashioning it into intricate braids. And when the hunt had been over, he would retreat to his cozy nook inside the network of caves that ran deep underneath the Black Mountain, nestling in the furs of a giant Sakazajik he'd slain. His mother would sing him songs in the old tongue, ancient reminders of a time when the great star had shone upon their land, the skies had been colored blue, and the ice they walked upon now had been water.
Mother.
He remembered her name, but it was too painful for him to even think it. Her name was sacred. He'd lost her that day, when Imperial forces had raided Sanara, the Black Mountain, and stolen Rickle and his age-mates. They'd been shipped off to the planet Zar, and out of the thousands who had been sent there, only 10 had survived. The First Division. The Empire had created 10 perfect soldiers, but it had cost the blood of thousands. They had stolen their memories. At first, their loyalty had been to the Empire, and they had been the perfect tools, finely honed and vicious in every way. But slowly, their personalities had emerged, fragments of memory had returned, and they had all decided their true loyalties lay with the general, especially once Emperor Ilhan descended into madness. The Empire had forged 10 perfect weapons, but the weapons were strongest when they worked together, and the Empire didn't exactly wield them anymore. Rickle decided there and then that he would no longer serve the Empire. He would not be a tool of the Mad Empress and her corruption. He was loyal only to his general, his brothers, and now his mate. To her above all others. "Rickle?" Aaron whispered, stroking his hair as he leaned into her, wrapping his arms around her slender waist, pressing his cheek against her belly. "It's okay."
"Yeah."
He placed his hand over hers, closing his eyes. Something must have happened to his brain as the nanites inside his body furiously tried to protect and repair it after the blast. His memories had come back all at once, undoing all the Empire's work. It would take him a long time